page 136. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father. Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy.
Almighty and merciful God, whose gift it is that your faithful possess all things pertaining to faith and life, we implore you that we may so faithfully cling to your promises in this life that we fail not finally to attain to your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from the 29th chapter of Isaiah. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing. The scornful one is consumed, and all who watch for iniquity are cut off, who make a man an offender by a word, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just by empty words. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in the midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. This is the word of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. The epistle reading is from the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. sermon text is from Mark 7, verse 32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. After a close observation of creation, we have come to know that certain principles have an almost universal application. For example, the law of gravity is quite constant. You can count on its applicability, and so you can know the outcome of throwing an object up into the air. We say what goes up must come down. I might summarize it and say it this way. This is simply the way things are. By extension, even human inventions are designed to work in a particular way. For example, a refrigerator is designed to keep things cool. And from a consumer point of view, it's quite simple. You plug it in, you set the temperature, and it works. However, we may not realize that each human invention, as they are, there are requirements and there are parameters. Now, of course, we wouldn't expect a refrigerator to work if it wasn't plugged in, but other considerations might not be so easily understood. I put a refrigerator in my garage. In the summer, I found that it doesn't keep the ice cream frozen. Now, inside the house, the fridge only needs to bring the temperature down, well, about 45 degrees from a room temperature of 75 down to 30. However, the high humidity and 95 degrees in the garage requires a wide range of, well, 65 degrees. And then in the winter, I had problems when the outside temperature went below, well, was about 10 degrees for 2 weeks. Even though the appliance wasn't running, the inside temperature continued to drop and froze the liquids in the refrigerator. The things you don't think about. The consequence of the things you don't consider. In today's text, we have a man who is deaf and mute. His ears and tongue, they don't work. They don't work as they should. Now, yes, I know that a deaf man can't hear, and that also someone who has a speech impediment can't communicate. However, have we considered the consequences of this unfortunate situation? You see, God has set up things as, well, so that, as Romans 10:17 says, so that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And having said this, the Word of God goes on in Romans 10:9 to say that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hearing with the ears and confessing with the mouth. This man's situation is that he cannot hear the preaching of the Word of God because he is deaf. And furthermore, he cannot confess with the mouth because he is mute. Now, yes, I realize there are deaf ministries in which sign language is used. And I know that although the man can't sing a hymn or confess the Apostles or Nicene Creed, he can still believe in his heart. And furthermore, yes, calling on the name of the Lord is more than just out audible words spoken. It's a description of the faith in the heart. But it's not so easy, I say, to overcome this situation, and it requires an intense amount of effort. How do you teach someone who can't hear or speak? And how do you bring them the gospel of salvation? And if you keep going, the consequences are somewhat astounding. Unintended, but they are astounding. Verse 34 says this, Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed. And he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. When Jesus saw the deaf and mute man, his heart goes out to him, and Jesus, I tell you, does fully realize the ramifications of this man's situation. And I would explain Jesus' audible sigh as an acknowledgement that things are not the way they are supposed to be. Ears are supposed to hear, and tongues are supposed to speak, and the preached and spoken word of God is supposed to create faith and impart salvation so that man speaks. But due to the introduction of sin into what was a perfect world, creation doesn't work as it should, and it groans under a load of sin. Yeah. There are thorns and thistles, so that it makes work difficult. There is pain and sorrow in pregnancy, birth, and child raising. The devil, who is a perpetual liar and murderer, is forever attacking mankind, and he especially fights against God's church. He accuses sinners so that they despair and give up. He spreads falsehood so that people trust in their own sinful human ideas. And yes, he never takes a day off. The spiritual battle is complex. It has many attacks, and they're all going on simultaneously. I find that it is a wonder that any of us would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Think about it. The government needs to provide outward peace and order so that the church can gather. People need to have jobs in order to support the work of the church. Parents need to bring their children to be taught. Doctors and health care must keep us healthy so we're not stuck at home, sick or crippled. Pastors must be trained and then sent out. Schools must educate the people so that we can read and logically understand the points of doctrine. And believers can't be timid. They must be strong enough in the faith to reject falsehood and to reject false teachers. There are so many things that need to happen so that the word is preached and people hear and come to faith. Each age has had to deal with difficulties. And yes, we have difficulties in the year 2021. Throughout the world and in our community, yes, there are various ones. I'm sure that Jesus would sigh at governments which outlaw or suppress Christianity. He would sigh as the populace desires to live immoral lives while communities and church leaders even encouragement. He would sigh as the institution of marriage is ignored. He would sigh as the family is being attacked and children are offered up to be brainwashed. He would sigh as the response to widespread disease and sickness is being used by some for nefarious purposes. There is corruption. There are bribes, double standards. They have crippled the state and the church. We have brought sexual activity out of the marital bedroom and, like my refrigerator, taken it into the garage with not realizing the consequences. Our government no longer protects its citizens, especially those who are poor and lowly. No, instead, we rob from the poor and lowly with the lottery and gambling. We damage them with legal marijuana, and we give them money instead of jobs. You can't harm the state, the church, or the family without there being grave consequences. We may not even yet understand how far these consequences go, unintended as they may be, but there are grave consequences to these. And I'm not convinced that today's attacks or difficulties are any worse than in the past centuries. However, today's believers, pastors and their congregations, are definitely not doing a good job of resisting the falsehood or professing the truth in the face of falsehood. In today's Holy Gospel, the believers brought to Jesus one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. We know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, and he is sent to help us. When we see that Jesus can heal the man so that his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly, we too ought to bring to Jesus all of our needs. Though our Jesus has bound us to certain natural laws of creation, he himself can move heaven and earth to help us if he deems that that is necessary. And just like those who brought the man to Jesus, we must admit that we are unable to fix our problems. And thus we beg Jesus to help us. We daily pray, Lord, have mercy upon us. The introit from Psalm 70 should be familiar to us. It is used during our prayer offices. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. We need to come to the Lord asking for his help. Now, it is true, there is nothing that we can do about the troubles of our age. And yes, only Jesus can help. That's why today's epistle says it this way. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. And though we must acknowledge the truth of our situation, helpless, and we are to beg Jesus to lay his hand upon us and heal us in our age, we must not despair. As Christians, we must not grow weary of the battle. We must not resign ourselves thinking that the victory is unwinnable. The introit from Psalm 70 also instructs us, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Through a closer observation of today's Holy Gospel, we find out that Jesus answers his church's prayers when they call upon him. And when our Jesus hears, he will answer and come to our aid. We know the response of those who saw Jesus' intervention. What did they say at the end of today's text? He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Jesus has come, and he has done all things well. As today's collect says, our Jesus has provided for us all things that pertain to faith and life. Now, this doesn't mean that each and every believer will be healed of their cancer, COVID, blindness, or disability. Jesus did heal the man in today's Holy Gospel so that we would know that he is able to do all things. And yes, he may mercifully work a miracle in your life, either directly or through nurses, doctors, etc. However, our Jesus is not just a healer of the deaf and the mute, for he has done all things well. Our Jesus has made sure that his believers not only escaped the battle, but also the war. Jesus has come to rescue us from the sin which has infected our human nature, and he leads us away from temptation. Jesus has taken up our sin and given us the forgiveness of sins. Jesus can free us from our lust, from our anger, from our coveting. He can give us a new heart to love our neighbor. Though sin has infected all three of the estates of family and government and the church, Jesus has come. He has come to place us into his kingdom, and he does all things well. Jesus uses sinful rulers to protect the body and possessions of believers. Jesus uses sinful and weak pastors to preach the truth of God's word. And Jesus uses sinful parents to raise children in the faith. Jesus has come. He has come to rescue us from the wages of sin, which is death. He suffered and died, laid in the tomb for 3 days to show us that we need not fear death. He rose from the dead, and he promises that all that believe in him will have a resurrection unto eternal life. You see, a physician can lengthen your life a few years, but our heavenly physician is giving out eternal life, and he has done all things well. And finally, that ancient serpent, the devil, he's been utterly defeated by Jesus. Though Jesus sighs at the destruction and impediments which the devil has worked against and upon man, he does not sigh out of exasperation or desperation. Jesus sighs to show us his compassion for us, for his desire to give us relief, that he knows he has the victory over the devil. And so our Jesus sighs and then he works. Jesus works his will on earth just as it is in heaven. He has done all things well. He defeats the devil, restores everything which was taken away due to sin. The restoration of all things comes through faith. Faith in the redemptive work of Jesus. That is, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation is offered to us through the word and the sacraments. That offer is called the promise of the gospel. It's good news. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And nothing can take that deliverance away from us. Neither sickness, sin, corruption, hate, not even temporal death. No matter the enemy nor his weapon, they cannot take away our victory that is received by faith in Jesus. Thus, the last part of today's collect says it well. We implore you that we may so faithfully cling to your promises in this life, the promises of the gospel, that we fail not finally to attain your heavenly glory. Those who believe will attain that heavenly glory. Our Jesus, he has done all things well. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has made it sure and certain that through faith alone in the gospel promise, we will have victory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143, Create in Me, we stand. Let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, everlasting Father, we give thanks that even while our ears did not discern your call to repentance, and while our mouths were silent when it came to your praise, your creative word opened our ears and our lips, so that faith came by hearing and our lips for the fruits of faith. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, we ask that your people might consider Jesus working in the public ministry of the Holy Spirit to be a glorious service of forgiveness and healing. We ask that our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would see the pastoral office as a glorious ministry that brings righteousness. We also bring before you the daily services that are for our children at the Learning Center. And we ask that you would open ears to hear and lips to declare your praise. Bless our director Keeley as well as our teachers and staff. Let us pray to the Lord. Endow our President Joe, our Governor JB, our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, county commissioners, city officials, and all our judges with grace to rule for the maintenance of goodness and the hindrance of evil. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, as well as our police officers, Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-ins, Carolyn and OSHA, as well as Violet. Also be with our students as they return to classes with Sarah, Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, Benjamin, and Jacob. Be with those of various needs with Caitlin, Kevin, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Gibb, Howard, and Stan, Demi, Shirley, Jack, as well as Linda. We ask that you would be with Rachel and keep her safe until the birth and watch over her unborn child. And we ask that you would be with David, who is hospitalized here at Heron. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Lord, Heavenly Father, as we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.